Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, June 15th, 2020. Welcome back, Sakito-san. In recent episodes, you told listeners that you expect Japanese exporters to cap USD-JPY around 110, and in fact, USD-JPY dropped sharply from that level last week. However, the lower bound of USD-JPY also seems robust, despite the sharp drop in U.S. equities last week and seemingly vulnerable valuations amidst the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. What are the main drivers of yen selling here? And did you see anything in the latest balance of payment data that reinforces your view that the yen is unlikely to appreciate sharply?
Thank you, John, for you have really deep understanding of JPY flow. There were several large JPY selling flows. One of the surprising pieces was Japanese companies' foreign direct investing recently. According to the April balance of payment released by the Ministry of Finance, the financial balance decreased by 949 billion yen, despite the fact that direct investing increased to 1.5 trillion yen. The financial balance clearly showed mixed fund balance. The heated overseas direct investing of 1.56 trillion yen by Japanese investors was also particularly striking. This primarily reflected Japanese companies lending to their overseas local affiliates. On the other hand, as I have already noted in previous conversations with you, overseas direct investing related to the pandemic appears to have been mainly to financial support, business operations support, rather than for financial acquisition. Looking ahead, we expect Japanese companies to maintain their own businesses by overseas direct investing. This would not necessarily be for forward-looking M&A activity.
Thanks, that makes sense. Last week, the Japanese Ministry of Finance released the April balance of payment data. Taking that together with the latest MOF securities flow data, can you tell us what Japanese investors are up to here in foreign bond markets?
In April, Japanese investors were net buyers of overseas stock and investment fund holdings, and net sellers of medium to long-term bonds. Specifically, Japanese investors net sold 4.9 trillion yen of U.S. treasuries, but only the 3.3 trillion of USD-denominated bonds. Thus, A missing 1.6 trillion yen, the difference between the two of U.S. corporate bonds and other credit assets. In addition to bond buying through investment fund holdings, Japanese investment funds into U.S. trade corporate bonds were strong. We can look at how Japanese bond assets in two ways, by currency and country. By currency denomination, Japanese investors net bought 698 billion yen of JPY asset, 363 billion yen of Australian dollar asset, 260 billion of Canadian dollar asset, and 233 billion of euro asset. Japanese investors were net buyer of 363 billion of Australian governmental bonds, 225 billion in Canadian governmental bonds, and 259 billion in Italian government bonds. By country, Japanese investors were net buyer of Cayman Islands by 357 billion yen, Italy by 254 billion yen, Singapore by 207 billion yen, Belgium by 132 billion yen, Ireland by 122 billion yen, and Norway by 11 billion yen. In contrast, Japanese investors were net seller of the US by 3.3 trillion yen, France by 262 billion yen, and Germany by 113 billion yen. This suggests that investors sold off bonds from key advanced countries and took gains, desperately rebalancing their portfolios by shifting to other advanced countries and credit assets. I would conclude with the observation that Japanese investors helped to stabilize the global financial markets in April when they took credit risk for global companies, holding the collapse of the U.S. credit market. As they took gains on U.S. and European money at the start of this fiscal year. This is another indication that Japanese investors should be watched as a litmus test for the global financial market.
Got it. What about foreign investors? What were they doing in Japanese markets in April following the COVID-19 turmoil of March?
Overseas investors sold off 435 billion yen of inward securities, but movements were mixed by country. The UK, 5.8 trillion yen, France, 2.5 trillion yen, and China, 2.4 trillion yen, were net buyers, while the US, 1.4 trillion yen, and international institutions, 1.3 trillion yen, net sold Japanese securities. China and Europe both bought short-term JPY bond asset swaps, while Australia and Singapore were all net sellers. US dollar JPY forward and the basis swaps tightened, but even so showed the relative value. This is because investors' behavior was mixed. We did observe some investors reinvesting, depending on the timing of the redemption of their short-term bonds and their portfolio strategy.
Okay, so tying this all together, what are the implications of cross-border flows and other factors on the yen, US dollar JPY basis, and JPY rates?
Looking ahead, with more TDBs being issued, investors may be more concerned with JPY bond rates rising than falling. USD JPY forward premium tends to be flat because of the BOJ's fund supply operation, but there is room for expansion ahead of the end of June because of the demand among investors who have been unable to access to the BOJ USD operations. Japanese lifers and asset managers, for example, do not have their own access to the central bank. Their demands will likely widen US dollar JPY forward in the basis swaps once US dollar JPY drops sharply, and they will be aware of the risk of the JPY strengthening. They will likely cover their unhedged position near the end of this quarter. One more supporter for JPY strengthening is Japanese exporters. They also must cover their positions of US dollar JPY. At the same time, global investors need to make money, perhaps with more urgency, given US rates and stocks dropped sharply recently. Accordingly, they are likely to be open to JPY cross-border flows and trade opportunities near the end of this quarter. As such, we have a bearish bias for US dollar JPY 105 to 108, although we believe the US dollar JPY lower bounds will remain robust. Unless the yield gap with the US widen, Japanese investors will likely prefer non-JPY securities that offer cross-currency asset swap appeal. This could cause JPY basis swaps to widen. Finally, we expect JPY rate to remain range-bound through the end of June.
That's great analysis. Thanks for joining us, Sekiro-san.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.